new series of messages called Living Like Jesus. Now, that idea comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, anyone who claims to be in God ought to live their lives the same way Jesus did. So when we stop and think about that, we've kind of started asking ourselves questions, and what does it mean to live like Jesus? So leading up to Easter Sunday, we're doing a series of four messages. Last week was the first one, and we talked about surrender, what it means to live a life of surrender. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Heavenly Father, if there's any way that this cup, if there's any way that we can still save the world and provide salvation without me having to go to the cross, I'm all ears. I'd love for that to be an option. But he said, I want your will to be done, not mine. That's surrender. And that's the kind of surrender that we have to have as Christians if we want to live the way that Jesus lived. I must be in a situation to where no matter what my personal preference is, or what my personal opinion or belief is, I have to be living in a situation where I can honestly come to the Heavenly Father and pray, God, look, you know my heart. This is what I would like to see. This is the answer I would like for this prayer. But I want your will to be done, not mine. That surrender. Today, I want us to think about what I call the life of service. The life of service. From the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he lived a life of service to other people. He served others by teaching them. He taught them what it means to follow him. He taught them the importance of knowing what's right and wrong and living a holy kind of life. He served by healing the sick. He served others by feeding the hungry. I mean, stop and think about the times when Jesus took just a few fish and some pieces of bread and prayed over it and blessed it and multiplied it and fed thousands of people and still had food left over. He served by feeding the hungry. He served by encouraging others. He served by offering compassion rather than condemnation. I think of that woman in John chapter 9, I believe it is, maybe it's chapter 8, the woman who the Pharisees brought to Jesus in the middle of the town square. Basically, she was caught in the act of adultery, and they threw her basically at Jesus' feet and says, the law says we stone her, but what do you say? Jesus looked at him, and we know how he kind of got down and scribbled something with his finger in the dirt, and when he got up, he said, the one of you who is without sin, you get to throw the first rock. As they all walked away, finally it was just Jesus and the woman by herself. And he said, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? He said, no one. He said, then I don't condemn you either, but go and leave your life of sin. Condemnation. He compassion rather than condemnation. He gave forgiveness rather than judgment. He served large crowds and he served individual people. He served people he knew and he served total strangers. It didn't matter. But today I want to boil it down to a very personal and intimate example of Jesus and his service to other people. And it's found in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to begin reading with verse 1, and we're going to look at the first 17 verses of this chapter. A very personal and intimate example of Jesus and what it means to serve others. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, and who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, because he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said that not everyone was clean. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Heavenly Father, this is your word. I ask you to bless it today. In your precious name, amen. The life of service. I want us to think about this example that Jesus gives us. I want to look at a few different lessons that we can learn from Jesus about serving other people. And the first lesson I want us to think about is how Jesus served, how he served his disciples. First thing I realize about this is that he served willfully and voluntarily. He served willingly. No one asked him to do what he did, right? No one forced him to do it. No one coerced him to do it. There was no arguing about who would do the duty of a servant on that day. Jesus did not do it out of obligation or simply because no one else would. I want us to try to picture this scene for a moment. This is the Passion Week. This is what we know during Holy Week as Maundy Thursday, okay? Jesus is in this upper room with his disciples because he told them, I've always desired to share this Passover meal with you. What we need to understand is this is taking place earlier in the evening. Later that evening and early the next morning, Jesus would be arrested in his trial and suffering and everything would start. So Jesus is having this meal, the Passover meal, what we know as the Lord's Supper. Sometimes what we call communion. They've all come in the room. Now tradition was, if you were going to have a meal like this, when everyone came in the room, there would be a servant stationed by the door, and the servant's job was to wash the feet of everyone who came into the room before they sat down for the meal. It was all part of the Jewish law as far as ceremonial cleansing and washing. But there was no servant at the door. I can't believe that. The scripture doesn't say this, but here's what I believe on this, okay? If you're new here today, what I'll always tell you, if I'm interpreting something according to my opinion or my interpretation, I'll tell you this. I can't find a verse to prove this, but here's my thing. This was not an accident. See, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him into the town to get ready for this meal, right? He gave them specific instructions about what to look for and where to go, how to set the room up. Not once did Jesus mention making sure there was a servant there to wash their feet. My belief is this was all part of his plan. Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. So they come in. They're all sitting around the table. Jesus starts with this opening discourse and discussion, and then he gets up from the table, takes his robe off, wraps a towel around his waist, grabs the pitcher of water in a bowl, and he pours the water in the bowl, and he starts washing her feet. By design, voluntarily. Like I said, not out of obligation, not because no one else would do it. They didn't sit around the table and look, well, who's going to wash feet? Not me. I'd never do that. He did it willingly, and I submit as a part of his plan. He served unselfishly. Jesus didn't serve them with any expectation of getting anything in return. He didn't come to them and say, if I wash your feet in return, I expect you to do this. We get to that later. And even that wasn't something they were required to do. It's something he encourages them to do. He didn't have any ulterior motive. He wasn't looking for recognition or approval or reward of any kind. He wasn't waiting for someone to get up and pat him on the back and say, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry you had to do that, but good job. He served unselfishly. He served with humility. Once again, picture the scene. The rooms, the houses and things that they lived in then were not furnished like our houses today. In commentaries and stuff that I've studied, you'll see many times in Scripture it'll say Jesus was reclining at the table, or the disciples were reclining around the table. Now, the way I'm picturing this table is it was something that was a little ways up off the floor. But it's not like a table with full chairs and stuff like we would sit around in our dining rooms. They would be literally sitting on the floor with their feet out to the side or maybe in front of them or somehow getting as close to the table as they could, but sitting on the floor. In order for Jesus to wash their feet, he would have had to have been on his hands and knees probably in front of them or beside them with his water bowl and his towel. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, on his hands and knees in front of 12 men around the table, washing their filthy feet, washing the filth and the dirt of the world off of their feet. That's humility. But that's how Jesus served. No wonder Paul describes Jesus the way he does in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. Can you see it? Can you see Jesus? Getting down on his hands and knees, washing your feet. That's what he did. That's how Jesus served. I want us to think next about who he served. Who did Jesus serve? The 12. These are the men that Jesus has handpicked to share in his life and to share in his ministry for the last 3+ years. They've been with him day and night. He has invested in them. He has taught them. He's had conversations with them. He's prayed for them and with them. They have learned, some of them. They've listened, some of them. They're a tight-knit group, it seems. But I want us to look a little closer at the people Jesus was serving that day. We all know of the man named Judas, Judas Iscariot. Judas was the money man, so to speak. Judas was the designated money keeper. He kept the money pouch, and Scripture tells us that sometimes he would even use money out of their treasury for his own things and stuff, embezzling, extort, whatever you want to call it, stealing. He would take advantage of the fact that he had that ability. But he was also a traitor. Judas Iscariot was the one who would, even later that evening, betray Jesus. Judas was the one who would identify Jesus to those who came to arrest him and crucify him by kissing him on the cheek. The one I kiss on the cheek is the one that you need to arrest. That's Jesus. He was the one who would basically hand Jesus over to those who wanted to crucify him. He sold Jesus out for 30 silver coins. Wow. I'm not going to pretend to know how much that was worth. I didn't look it up. I mean, it was not a small amount of money back in that day. But we're selling the Son of God out for 30 pieces of silver. What do we sell him out for today? Here's the kicker in all this. Jesus knew that Judas was going to do this. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Judas was going to be the one who identified him to those who wanted to arrest him and crucify him. We read that in verse 11. It says that Jesus already knew that it was Judas that would betray him. So what did Jesus do? He served Judas anyway. He invited Judas to the same table that the rest of the disciples were at. He served Judas the bread. He served Judas the wine that went with the meal. He loved Judas the same way he loved everybody else. He served him even though he knew that Judas would betray him. Can you picture it? There's another guy in the group named Simon Peter. Peter was the outspoken one. The first one to answer every question, it seemed like. He was the guy in class that's always, oh, pick me. And if you didn't pick him, he said it anyway. Simon's the one who told Jesus, oh, I'll never betray you. I'll never deny you. I'll go with you to the death, if that's what it means. I can just see Jesus kind of shaking his head, and he said, oh, Simon, and before the rooster crows, tomorrow morning you will deny me three times. But you know what Jesus did? He served him anyway. Invited him to the same table. Served him the same food, the same drink, the same meal. Loved him the same way that he loved everyone else. Even though Jesus knew and predicted that Simon Peter would deny even knowing him three times by the next morning. What did Jesus do? He still washed his feet. Judas and Peter, see, those are the two that normally catch the most flack, right? Those are the two we know by name. But I want us to think about something that's very interesting. There's a verse in Mark's gospel that talks about this night. In Mark chapter 14, verse 50, by this time we find ourselves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Mark chapter 14, verse 50 is immediately after Judas shows up with the soldiers, and he identifies Jesus, and Jesus has been arrested. And then in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it says, all his disciples deserted him and ran away. The same ones he had just shared the meal with, the same ones he had just served so personally and intimately, all the rest of them, the same ones that sat around the table and had Jesus wash and dry their feet, they all left him. Jesus knew it would happen. But he served them anyway. Why? Why did Jesus serve the way he did? Why would he go to such great lengths to serve others, especially when he knew they were just going to turn their back on him, deny him, even betray him, and hand him over to the enemy, so to speak? There are a few reasons. Part of it's because it was part of his mission. He served because it was part of his mission. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. It was all part of the plan. Serving others is part of his mission. Luke chapter 22, verse 27 says, I am among you as one who serves. Service is part of the mission. It was part of the very reason Jesus came in the flesh. Now, I know just a few weeks ago when we talked about the importance of soul winning, we talked about the fact that Jesus' mission was seeking and saving the lost. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Now he says, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve. Can I just tell you, those are not opposite of one another. They're not in conflict or in competition with one another. Coming to seek and save the lost and coming to save others are actually two different sides of the same coin. They work and go together. What better way to serve others than to live in a way that helps them come to know Jesus in a personal and saving way? If I can live my life in a way that someone looks at me and says, man, there's something different about you, what is it? And it gives me an opportunity to share my story and what God has done in my life. If that somehow leads them to come to know Christ, listen, that's the greatest blessing in the world that we could ever experience. It was part of his mission, but he also served out of love. We got to understand that. Look back at the very beginning of our scripture reading, John chapter 13, verse 1. There's a verse there, there's a part of a verse there that I've heard before and never really thought of it in this context. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. How did he do that? By serving, by washing their feet. Service is a way that we show love to other people. It was a way Jesus showed love for other people. Love is part of his nature. Jesus wanted his disciples to know more than anything I'm going to say something here that I hope I say this right because it's not in my notes. Jesus wanted them to know more than anything that he loved them. Jesus wasn't necessarily interested in making sure they had the right doctrine or the right gospel or they understood everything about justification and salvation by faith and sanctification, all that. Jesus wanted them, first of all, to know that he loved them, because if they don't know Jesus loves them, none of that other stuff matters. And when we're out there in the world talking with our friends and neighbors and our family members, we can give them all the Bible in the world. We can talk to them about all these different ideas and what it means to be saved. But they aren't going to listen to a word we have to say if they don't know that we love them, they don't know Jesus loves them. He served out of love. It's part of his nature. He served by washing their feet. That showed his love for them in a humble yet powerful and unforgettable way. I want you to think about that impression. No matter what else happened in your life from that day on, would you ever, ever be able to forget the day that Jesus washed your feet? It had a lasting impact because he served out of love. And he served to be an example. He tells them plainly, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The name of this series is Living Like Jesus. He tells us, I have set an example for you. I've shown you what to do. I've shown you what I want to do. If we want to live like Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did and what he wants us to do. He served so that he could show us what he expects from us. And that brings us to our final thought. Here's a question. What about us? What about us? How does any of this have to do with us? If I want to live like Jesus, serving others is not optional. It has to be a key part of our lives. Jesus tells his disciples and us that if we want to be a leader, we must become a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. That's Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. My translation to that, the New Francis Warren version, I don't know what you want to call it. Here's my translation of that. If you're not willing to serve, you're not worthy to lead. If you want to be a leader, we must become a servant. Those are the words of Jesus. If we're not willing to serve, we're not worthy to lead. If we're not willing to show others what we expect of them, what Jesus expects of us. I mean, I spent 14 years in the National Guard. I was talking with Brian this morning. 14 years in the National Guard. I started out just like everybody else as an E1 nothing, okay? I carried the shovels. I carried the picks. I was a heavy equipment operator, okay, but I didn't always get to do that. I served KP duty. I did all the grunt work. I cleaned the toilets. I picked up trash. By the time 14 years later when I got out, I was a staff sergeant, E6, and I was a supervisor at that point, and my job was to train others how to do the job that we were supposed to be doing. And once in a while, I'd have a new guy say, why don't you do it? I said, I've done it all. I've done it all. And I said, you know what? I'll still do it. We did whatever we needed to do. Matter of fact, I got in trouble one time by one of my supervisors because I was trying to show someone how to do something. I think I was operating a bulldozer that day, and I was trying to show one of my younger trainees how to do something. So I trained him the way my dad trained me, right? I put him up on the equipment with me. He sat beside me and watched everything I did. Well, my supervisor came to me and he says, whoa, stop. He says, come here for a minute, Sergeant Warren. I got down and I walked over to him. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm showing Private so-and-so how to do this job. Well, you're supposed to teach him how to do it, not do it for him. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching him by example. I can't stand down here on the ground while a guy's up here on this huge piece of equipment and show him what to do, or teach him and train him what to do. Jesus said, I've been an example for you, now I want you to do this. We might look around and say, I don't want to do that job. I don't want to clean the church. I don't want to mow the lawn. I don't want to weed eat. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the hospital and sit beside someone's bed when they're dying. Listen, all those things are how we serve. And if that's how God chooses to have us serve, then we need to be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. Some of the things we need to think about when it comes to our service. I need to think about my attitude. What is my attitude towards serving others? Do I do it willingly? Do I do it voluntarily, or do I do it out of duty and obligation because no one else is going to do it and it's just what's expected of me? Do I do it because I'm looking for or hoping for some kind of recognition or something in return? Do I do it out of humility or because I'm looking to draw attention to myself? Why do I serve? I need to ask myself this question. Who am I willing to serve? Am I willing to serve anyone and everyone that I come in contact with and that I have the opportunity to? Or am I only willing to serve and help out those people that I know, my friends, my neighbors, my family members or something? The Good Samaritan, do you remember that story? The stranger who's been beaten and robbed and left half dead laying in the ditch. The priest sees him and crosses over to the other side of the road, gets as far away as he can and walks on by. The Levite, the temple assistant, does the same thing. Samaritan comes by later and sees him and goes over and maybe gives him a drink, tends his wounds, bandages his wounds, puts him on the back of his own donkey, carries him back into town, all the way back into town to the hotel and says, I've done everything I can for him right now. I'm leaving him in your care. When I come back, let me know how much I owe you. I'll pay the bill. He didn't know him. He's a total stranger. But he's willing to serve. Am I willing to serve those that turn their back on me, that betray me in some way? What are my reasons? Do I consider serving as a part of my calling as a Christian? Do I understand that it's part of my mission in the kingdom? Do I serve out of love for Jesus and for those people who are in need? As we bring this to a close, I want to share a quote by Oswald Chambers. Chambers says that service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. Service is the reflection of my identification with the nature of God. Service becomes a natural part of my life. The Son of God reveals himself in me, and out of devotion to him, service becomes my everyday way of life. What's it all mean? Living a life of service is how we follow the example that Jesus set for us. Serving others makes us more like Jesus. If we do it for the right reasons and with the right attitude and mindset. Here's my prayer for us today. May God help us. May God help all of us as we do our best to live this kind of life. Because if we do this, our lives are more like Jesus each and every day. I want us to close with a little chorus. We're going to sing a song.